consecutive days of footy behind us, but there's no time to rest as a blockbuster round seven looms starting Thursday night. How does a showdown sound to start off? And a huge Carlton-Collingwood Friday night after that. Then there's an early season pair of qualifying finals. Top team Geelong play 4th Melbourne and 2nd and 3rd Swans and Giants face off in a battle of the bridge. Are the top three set already? Josh Barnes will join me to chat about how the Cats, Swans and Giants are a cut above the rest right now. John Ralph has named his top 30 free agents in the AFL, but who are the top 5 gettable stars for your club? I'll chat to Ralphie coming up about just that. But first, here's Josh Barnes. And we're joined by Josh Barnes. G'day, Josh.
And a huge weekend. It's good to be back with you, mate.
I know. Well, it was a long weekend.
It wasn't really a weekend, was it? It was a very long period of football
that we've just... Feels like, well, it is a whole week since my team, the Demons, played, and they don't now play until Saturday night. So, it's been a long time between footy games.
Yeah, with Easter only a couple of weeks before, I could get used to this, 5 days of footy in a row. It reminded me of COVID times when we had it every night.
Yes, I know. I know, except there were crowds.
Yes, we had huge crowds on the weekend, didn't we?
Anzac Day, and then even Sydney and Hawthorn had a reasonable crowd, even though they didn't really see much. But that Hawthorn being at the bottom end of the ladder, we're going to talk about the top end of the ladder today, and specifically the top three, because you think the race is run. You think it's just a race in three now.
Oh, well, at the moment, from the evidence we've seen, Andy, I'm not saying in the next
four, 7 weeks in,
18 weeks that things might change, but Ross Lyon said last year that the ladder doesn't lie, and I think at the moment it doesn't lie. We've got Geelong, GWS and Sydney clearly the top three at the moment. They're a game clear of anybody else with Melbourne in fourth, and I think that's about right. I think those three are our top three seeds based not only on the way they're playing but the results so far. I think they're all tracking really well, and we're going to learn a lot about them. We've got a Sydney Derby Saturday afternoon in a not an ideal time slot at 1:45 on a Saturday afternoon, but that's okay. We'll all tune into that, and Geelong faces Melbourne that night at the MCG. So it's a big test for all of them this weekend.
Well, we've really got an early season top four billing. You know, we've got the first place fourth and second place third. It's almost like a couple of qualifying finals. So Melbourne will definitely lose on recent history of going out in straight sets. So top three, the top three teams, obviously, but also, you know, the top performing teams. How are they doing it?
Yeah, well, we're seeing it on the outside at the moment. A lot of footy in recent years has been about how you can get the ball from one end to the other. We saw that so famously with Collingwood. We all fell in love in 2022 with the way they moved the ball from the back half forward. It didn't get them a premiership that year, but it set the table for them to win it last year. And at the moment, outside footy is winning games more than inside footy from what we've seen. We've seen teams like Carlton are smashing the ball inside and doing really well in there, but it's not translating as greatly outside as we've seen in the past. And on the weekend, Sam Mitchell was reasonably pleased after the game. He said that we cracked in, we had a good effort for Hawthorn. They lost by 76 points. They won clearances. They won contested possessions by 18. If you usually win contested possessions by 18, you're feeling pretty good. And they got nowhere near Sydney on the outside on Sunday afternoon. And Geelong was a bit similar against Carlton. Carlton beat them up on the inside. Cats lost that count by 19 against the Blues. Wow. The Blues won the clearances. They won inside 50s. They had a lot of the ball, but Geelong was just so slick on the outside, getting the ball to Jeremy Cameron and Grime Myers, and they were away. So that's the way they're playing. GWS, they won every count against Brisbane in what was a belting on Anzac Day. But the way they move the ball on the outside, that orange tsunami, Darcy Jones coming in wearing a helmet, running from end to end, they just look fantastic too. So you do have to be reasonable inside to be a chance, but if you get the ball on the outside and you're the best team moving them from one end to the other, then you're going to win a lot of games.
Well, and even Geelong's 2022 grand final win, the Norseth medalist, was one of the best outside players of, you know, the last couple of decades in Isaac Smith. So yeah, so you got to get it out, but you then got to use it properly, and that's how you score goals, isn't it? Now the next month for each of those three teams will be telling, won't it? Because they've got relatively difficult next few weeks of footy.
Yeah. Depending on how you rate the Bulldogs and Essendon, they have pretty tough months, all three, Geelong and the two Sydney sides. So Geelong has Melbourne, obviously, this weekend. Port Adelaide at home, Gold Coast away, which is not easy at the moment. And then GWS down in Geelong. Obviously, the Sydney sides play this weekend. GWS faces Essendon here in Melbourne, Western Bulldogs and Geelong. And then Sydney plays GWS, Freo over in Perth, Carlton and the Bulldogs. So That's a pretty tough month. We're going to learn a lot, I think, in the next sort of 4 weeks about where they sit. We're going to learn a lot, obviously, from the derby this weekend, but that Geelong GWS game is going to be a cracker down at Geelong. The Giants have the best record of any visiting side down there. They seem to win unusually there. Now it won't be unusual so much this year if they do win, but that's going to be a ripper down there, and I think we're going to have a huge month ahead.
And they're the top three teams. The next three teams are all on equal points as well, in Melbourne, Port and Carlton. Obviously, Carlton lost on the weekend. Melbourne didn't look particularly convincing against
Richmond.
Were you
asleep at halftime, Andy? I was wavering with the remote in my hand. I was thinking maybe there's a Midsummer Murders for me on somewhere or something I could change it to.
I went to bed at halftime, Josh. So I didn't see the best of the D's. But
gee, that was flat.
But teams would that is the way teams would treat Melbourne 10 years ago, when you'd be with an opposition team until halftime, and you'd think, oh, maybe we can. And then in the blink of an eye, you're 40 points in front. So, you know, they got the win when they needed to. It wasn't convincing. Obviously, this week and next week against Carlton, they're two really big challenges for Melbourne. And I think that will be the tail of the tape for how their season will go for how good they are, how well they're tracking, and how they might look come finals time. But
Carlton's in the same boat as well. I mean, they have Collingwood Friday this week, and it's going to be a monster game. That's going to be absolutely gigantic. And then obviously Melbourne afterwards. So it's a huge 3 week block. They're concerned about their defence at the moment. Geelong opened them up on the weekend. Mm-hmm. They've been conceding a lot of goals recently, Carlton. So while they've been fixing up things through the middle, which was a bit of an issue at the start of the year, their defence is now their concern for Michael Voss. And they have a lot of injuries, so they have excuses. But we're going to learn about them, whether they are the top four contender that we all probably thought a month into the season. Collingwood obviously has to make a move at some point. They're outside the eight at the moment. They're going to have to make a jump. Port Adelaide against Adelaide in a showdown in prime time, Andy, this week. So after the biggest round of our lives last week, it might even get bigger.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? Collingwood's the sleeping giant. So if you look at the eight now, Collingwood outside, they're a half a game out of the eight plus a significant amount of percentage. But, you know, we are seven games in, so we're a long way to go. And you think that the way that Collingwood are tracking, they started slowly, but they're getting up there. But yeah, what a couple of weeks of footy we're going to see, just as the weather gets colder, and winter footy is a winter game. So it'll be perfect conditions for footy.
I'm Andrew Rule, the host of the podcast A Life in Crimes. Here are some of the things that we've been talking about the last few weeks. The brutal truth is that when you start looking at it, they always kill or injure a lot more than each other.
The professional hitman used to be a professional hitman.
Evil strikes in all forms, but particularly as stupidity. Life and Crimes is available wherever you get your podcasts.
So the Cats, Swans and the Giants are going to be our top three at the end of the year. Don't quote Josh Barnes on that.
Nobody saved this edition of the pod.
No, exactly. What about the bottom end of the ladder? You know, we talked about the Hawks briefly at the start there. Sam Mitchell wasn't particularly happy. That's been, you know, some of his reactions have been shown widely over the last couple of days in huddles, the huddle at quarter time and three-quarter time. What's going on at the Hawks?
Well, I think we're seeing at the moment, everyone talks about how even the competition is, but I think the gap between the bottom and the top is almost bigger than ever. Hawthorn, as we said, they were pretty happy, I think, with how they played on the weekend. Really, like, they wanted to crack in, be hard in the middle. Mm. They did those things and they were absolutely pants. Will Day, I spoke to in the rooms afterwards, he said, we knew exactly what Sydney was going to present to us. They played exactly the way we expected and we still couldn't touch them. So I think that's a pretty fair indicator that you are a long, long way off if you still lose by 76 points if you're in that situation. And it was pretty clear. I mean, once Marby or Chol gave away that a reversal free kick, the game was over, really. Yes. And that was 20 minutes into the first quarter. I tipped Hawthorn to be at the bottom of the ladder in our crystal ball at the start of the year. And they're sitting second bottom, so they're a better side than North Melbourne so far, but they're just struggling. They don't have outside players that you can rely on. Their forward line is in shambles when Mitch Lewis isn't there. Their back line is almost worse. James Sicily is having a horror year at the moment. He's invisible, and that's probably kind to him at some times. Mm. Some of his efforts haven't been up to standard, so we knew coming into this year that they weren't going to be, I didn't think, a finals contender despite winning seven games last year. But just the issues at either end are their problem. They wanted a tall defender, and James Blank did his knee in the preseason. They couldn't get a Salva Radigalia or Ben Mackay, and they're still missing a tall defender. And they wanted tall forward help, and Marby or Chol can't really provide that at the moment. So they're going to have to find somebody somewhere. They have a lot of money. We keep talking about how they have a lot of money, but how appealing is it to play for Hawthorn at the moment?
Well, that's the thing. And honestly, being better than North Melbourne's not really something to hang your hat on this year, is it? Josh Barnes, we'll see how it goes. We'll talk again before then probably, but in a month's time, let's have a look back at the ladder and see how those top three are shaping as we head into winter.
Well, you can guarantee it won't change, Andy, that's for sure.
Guarantee.
Lock it in.
Thanks, Josh. Here on the Herald Sun Footy Podcast, we're joined by John Ralph. G'day, Ralphie.
Good to be with you, Andy.
So, went live yesterday online and in today's paper, your 30 top free agents. I think a lot of people are going to get a lot of interest out of this because they're thinking, can we be the next Bombers? The Bombers had their three massive hits last year. Who are the three that any team could extract for next year and become next year's Bombers?
Yeah, and this time last year, about round eight, I don't think any of us really felt like Essendon were about to snare any of those three players. So, of course, we thought that Gresham was probably likely to stay at that stage. We weren't sure about Todd Goldstein. We didn't think Essendon because, of course, they had two rucks already, Sam Draper and Nick Bryan. And of course, they've done an amazing job of that, but also being able to bring in a top 10 pick in Nate Caddy. It's a lot of phone calls, a little bit of sniffing the wind, a little bit of just sifting through the tea leaves. But, I think I've got a pretty good handle on it. So I just thought I might give you, say, the top five players who would be most extractable.
Sounds good.
So Liam Hemsworth. It's going to be hard to get a player out of a quality club, so you need him in his battle gear to just drag him out for extraction 3.0.
Well, that is the one thing out of the piece that I think we learnt most, and that is you are a big fan of the Hemsworth.
Well, no, Liam. Yeah, I'm not sure about Chris. I don't know. What was the Hunger Games? Not really sure. A bit meek and mild. Whereas, no, I mean, how can you not love Thor? And, absolutely, of course, he's a Bulldogs fan as well.
Yeah.
So my five. So Cam Zuha, I think, as the season drifts on, and he's, I know he kicks three goals on the weekend, but, his form's been modest. I think it's quite apparent now that he's much more likely to leave than not. Mm-hmm. I think Jack Graham's really fascinating. So he's a good player that's down on form. He's had a quad injury. And I just think at Richmond, there will be clubs out there who think he's a hard runner. He's the modern player for the transition game. He doesn't kick it really well, but he's a really nice add-on to your midfield. And I just can't see that Richmond's going to pay him a big dollar. So if it is that, someone's prepared to pay him $600,000 over 4 years, which is not a lot of money in the current currency, in the modern currency, they might get a second round of him in terms of compensation. Yeah, I'm just not sure that Richmond would pay the money that others would. Adam Tomlinson. So he played round one, or opening round. It was exceptional, really solid performance. And then Tom McDonald took his spot. And he hasn't been able to get a look in. His form at VFL level is absolutely astonishing. Let's just go to the stats here. The stats have been cut out. So 17 intercept marks, 34 possessions, absolutely dominant in the VFL last week. I just think he's a plug and play for someone. Now, he might not want to go to North Melbourne, but there are enough clubs around that need a really solid third back, at his best a second back, who can also play wing, who kicks it really well, who's got an enormous tank. Just ticks a lot of boxes for me for someone who, maybe would not be available at a massive price. Will Hayward's the other one. So as we reported last night, Port Adelaide has now joined the crew. So they're interested in him. Adelaide's interested in him. There's a lot of Melbourne interest. He's a bit back in the pecking order at Victorian interest, rather. There's he's been pushed back in the pecking order a bit. They've got to sign up Logan McDonald, Ollie Florent. They've signed up Goulden, Rowbottom. So I think he's someone, again, who people think is a classy player. Port Adelaide has just lost Sam Powell-Pepper. And so they think, he's a perfect replacement if Pam Pepper doesn't come back off that knee, as good as you might have hoped. And so there's some of those players who I just think have huge potential. And then Elliot Yeo is a fascinating one as well.
Well, Elliot Yeo is because, as you reported, there was an offer on the table.
Yep.
Now that he's essentially the best performed player of the last two or three weeks in the AFL.
Yeah.
That price is going up.
No doubt. So I think they had a bit of a discussion about it in Feb. The feeling at that stage was, two-year deal, that'd be fantastic. Then Matty Clark, the Richmond recruiting boss, became the West Coast list boss. Don Pike's come in. They want to be orderly. They want to be methodical. They don't want to rush into any, significant decisions. But so in the time when they've been waiting for the counteroffer, it hasn't come back. What do we do here? Do we test the market? And that market is just extraordinary. So clubs out there looking at three-year deals, $700,000, $800,000, he's a free agent. Cost you nothing from a draft pick perspective. Just imagine what St Kilda would pay to have Elliot Yeo in their midfield for the next 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, I'm, when you've got $4 million or $3 million of cap space, does it matter if you pay him $700 or $800 or $900? And so that's the market out there. So right now he'll go back, and West Coast, you'd imagine now with a bit of publicity, would say, okay, here's the 2-year deal at $600, and that's going to look a bit meek in comparison. So I think we'd all be stunned if he left. He wants to stay. You know, his good mate in Harley Reid's very keen to play alongside him, but just get the deal done. And even getting that deal done might cost you, say, $500,000 more than it might have 3 weeks ago.
The other one who's an interesting watch is Nick Haynes, GWS. You know, he was a star 4 or 5 years ago, but he's really out of favour there. Yeah. He's played a couple of games only. What's the look? He's a Victorian guy, obviously.
Yeah, so he loves playing there. And look, he's on a massive back-ended deal this year, so, you know, some reports between $800 and $1 million. That was all money that was pushed back from previous deals. So no one should criticise him from that. In fact, we should, you know, laud him for his loyalty to rearrange his contract as they really pushed hard for that premiership. So he will get that money, and now he's an unrestricted free agent. There's just not a spot for him in that side. So, of course, last couple of weeks, Sam Taylor has been out. They still haven't been able to find a role for him. The likes of Connor Iden can play the lockdown role. Buckley's there. Sam Taylor comes back this week. He's pushed further down the selection pecking order. And so, you know, he's 32. I just think he's too good to play VFL, or too good to just, you know, roll around as a rookie for GWS just to do the right thing for him. Go and play 2 years. It might be that you use your intercepting gifts at North Melbourne or Adelaide or Richmond or one of those clubs. You get 2 years at $500,000. You pay off the rest of your mortgage. you impart your valuable IP and leadership to one of those, you know, bottom four or bottom six clubs. You're playing games of footy. And not many jobs out there in the real world will give you $1 million.
Oh, absolutely not. To do something that a lot of people do for free.
Spot on. Yeah. So there's a lot of those guys in that situation. There's a heap of players like Tim English, who I think will stay. Ollie Florent, who's negotiating a new contract. Tom McDonald, who I think would play one more year or retire.
Yeah.
And really positive news across the night as well. So Jared Berry will stay at Brisbane. There was talk around that, you know, significant interest from Victorian clubs. He's a big country boy, as was put to me. He's so loyal. He loves the joint. He doesn't play inside mid there, but he's a really solid citizen. So he will stay. And then, of course, Brisbane will have to get a deal done on Hugh McCluggage.
And Dusty, last of all.
Do whatever that makes you happy, Dusty. I mean, let's not, the one thing we should not do, and everyone is doing, is lecture Dusty.
Yep.
You must do this. You must retire. You must not go somewhere else. Do whatever makes you happy.
Well, he's got nothing left to prove, has he?
Yeah. And I think the one thing that people who are not Richmond supporters, and I'm not a Richmond supporter because I barrack for football, Andy, as you know, I might have a loose affiliation with, the yellow and black clan, but every one of those Richmond fans would say, you've given us 3 years. And so all those people in the cheap seats, sorry, you've given us three Norm Smiths and three flags across those three premiership years. So anyone that would say, okay, well, he's got to give us a compensation pick, or he owes us this, or he owes us that. He owes Richmond absolutely nothing. So if it's him, you know, again, getting $500,000 at Gold Coast for a year, good on him.
Mm.
Same with Damien Hardwick. I mean, Damien could have phrased it better in his, you know, opening press conference at Gold Coast, and that miffed a few people. But, when these guys are, you know, are legacy people who give you premierships, go and do whatever you want, Dusty. And I, for one, am really going to enjoy the last few games, whether it's 15 games or 37 games of Dusty Martin at Richmond, because he's one of our greats.
Absolutely. And you look at, you know, Luke Hodge isn't looked down upon for going to Brisbane. Jordan Lewis isn't looked down upon for going to Melbourne. You know, they ended their careers elsewhere, but they're still Hawthorne greats, premiership stars. So Dusty wouldn't be any different.
No, you look at Mick McGowan, and he was always the poster child for, I went 1 year to Carlton, and of course he had injuries, and, you know, we've often asked to talk to him about it, and he doesn't love talking about it. You know, that was 30 years ago.
Mm.
You look at Paul Chapman, 2 years at Essendon. The first year was really good. You know, a triple premiership player at Geelong. The second year probably faded out. Who cares? These guys got to play more. I asked Jordan a few weeks back on Fox Footy, have you got any regrets about going to Melbourne? No. And the poster child for the opposite is Isaac Smith. A lot of people would say, why would you go anywhere after three flags and you could have finished your career at Hawthorn? Nearly went to Melbourne. They won a flag there. Then he went to Geelong instead. They won a flag. So now he's four-time. And now Clarkie says he might just be open to the mid-season draft and go and chase a fifth flag somewhere.
Fantastic. Ralphie, it's a very interesting read, and a lot of people get a lot of interest out of what's going to happen next year. So thanks for your time.
Appreciate it.
That'll do us for this week's show. My thanks to Josh Barnes and John Ralph for joining me. As always, we've got a massive week of exclusive content for you online at heraldsun.com.au. From all the trade news in Moneyball Tuesday afternoon, Mick McGowan's analysing his two former teams in the Blues and the Pies Friday night game. That'll go live Thursday at lunchtime. Live games all weekend, plus Robbo's must-read tackle Sunday evening. Catch you next week.